Hello everyone, I am Lewis Santa and I portray Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Late Night with the Devil. It's written and directed by both Cameron Karnes and Colin Karnes. I think I got that right. I'm going with it.
Sounds good.
Sounds good? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Starring David Dasmachian as Jack Delroy, Laura Gordon as June Ross Mitchell, and Ian Bliss as Carmichael Haig. The plot of this movie is a live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. So you may know David Dasmachian from one of Joker's goons in The Dark Knight, Polka Dot Man from The Suicide Squad, not to be mistaken with Suicide Squad, or for his role as Veb in the Ant-Man movies. But he did also star in the Academy Award-winning Oppenheimer, not to be confused with the Barbie movie that came out at the same exact time. We all remember Barbenheimer. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Late Night with the Devil?
So, Steve, I was absolutely floored with how amazing this film was. We got to see it a little early, fortunately, because of some of our connections.
Mm-hmm.
We have connections. People know who we are.
We're a thing.
So we talk about trailers a lot in this podcast, and some of them are shit. Some of them are really good. And this may have been one of the best trailers that I've ever seen. It really gets the vibe of the movie across really well. And it even boasts that Stephen King and Kevin Smith were praising the shit out of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both of those two people so much. So when I saw that, I'm like, holy shit, Steve and I are going to love this. We need to see it immediately. And thankfully, we had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty thankful. This movie was great. Sometimes when you hear those, oh, Stephen King liked it, that type deal, you're like, okay, well, I mean, that's pretty good, right? Because he's like the king of horror. So I already had this expectation, like, you know what? Probably a good movie to check out. I mean, I loved the trailer. When I saw it, I was like, this looks really unique. So Corey and I had the opportunity to watch it because, yes, we had connections. But when we watched it, holy shit. Corey and I, as soon as we both finished, somehow you and I finished this movie basically at the same exact time.
Yeah, we were both, because we use like a cloud-based note-keeping service for our notes. And both of us were typing at the same time. And I remember Steve, he literally wrote, Corey, I'll wait until you're finished with your notes on our notepad. And I just wrote, fuck you at the end of it. And we were communicating on our notes. It was pretty funny.
It was funny. It was good. So yeah, this movie, it's very unique. It takes place in the 70s. It's got the whole 70s motif. We're talking the wardrobe. Wardrobe is amazing. The look of the whole late night set and everything. Everything's 70s. And even the look of the movie itself just kind of has that 70s look, you know, the almost like kind of grainy, washed out look, right? So it had that as well throughout the whole thing. So you felt like you were really kind of watching a 70s show.
So like three of my favorite things that were this, starting with the film, was the narrator. Whoever the narrator was, it reminded me of like, you used to watch those old crime shows as a kid, like Unsolved Mysteries, for example. You'd have that guy narrating.
Yeah.
Then also the graininess that you mentioned was really cool. And I also like the aspect ratio they used for the film. It wasn't like widescreen. I don't know what it was. You know, it's just kind of a strip down the middle of the screen.
Yeah. 5:4, I think.
5:4 aspect ratio. It was so fucking awesome. Oh, and one other thing, that this is basically the whole movie, is they shot it like a talk show. So these people are looking at the camera as everything's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was such a cool detail.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool because the movie basically starts off saying this is like, you know, the episode that aired and like what happened behind the scenes and things like that. So when they were doing the behind the scenes stuff, that would be in black and white, whereas everything else that was actually aired was in color. This movie was great because, yes, you can tell the difference between with the behind the scenes stuff and with the actual show happening. I almost feel like they did the same thing in Oppenheimer. Did you get that feeling in there? You've seen Oppenheimer, right?
I saw it in the theaters and I fucking hate every second of that movie. I hate it.
Okay.
It's so boring.
It's a long one. I didn't hate it. Yeah. I liked it.
We should have reviewed that one. You would have loved it and I hated it.
We wouldn't, because it's not a horror movie.
You know what, though? I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, and Oppenheimer within like a day of each other in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles was way better.
Fucking different ballgame, that one. That's like comparing fucking apples to chicken parmesan.
If that's how you want to do the comparison, so be it. I fucking love it.
That's funny.
Oppenheimer just won like best film of the year last night, and whatever. I can see the hype. I just think it's boring as shit. What's his face? Cillian Murphy did an amazing job.
Sure.
But it just
wasn't for you.
It's like 3 hours of talking and 1 3-minute scene of a bomb blowing up.
Yeah, it's surprising that I actually like enjoyed watching 3 hours of talking, considering how it took me two, maybe three attempts to get through Inglourious Basterds.
Which, you know what's funny? I read something the other day. Did you know who the Bear Jew was originally written for?
Who?
Adam Sandler.
Come on.
I was listening to Adam Sandler on Conan O'Brien's podcast the other day, and he said that Quentin Tarantino told him he wrote that for him, but he was unable to do it because he was filming like Grown Ups or something.
Yeah, or probably Jack and Jill.
One of those movies he was filming, he could not fit Inglourious Basterds into his schedule.
Oh, jeez.
Imagine that.
Yeah, that'd be something else.
Whatever.
Yep.
I'd regret that one for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I mean, like, was it a big scene, like a big role?
The Bear Jew?
Yeah.
I mean, they got that scene with him walking down the tunnel, you know, banging his baseball bat on the inside of it. That was about it.
Which is iconic for that movie.
And then he clubbed that one guy in the head.
Yeah. So it would have been a small role, I think, for Adam Sandler. Like, he probably would have done it. Maybe probably would have taken him a couple of hours. Honestly, he probably had the time. He could have stepped away, I bet.
Yeah, I wonder if he actually regrets that now, though.
He might.
I mean, it's no secret that, like, he's made some duds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of duds, his new movie, Spaceman.
Spaceman? No.
It's on Netflix. It came out last week or the week before. Speaking of boring movies, holy shit.
I think I saw it in passing, but didn't do it for me. Like, I wasn't compelled to check it out.
I'll give you the plot right now. It's sure. Adam Sandler talking to a spider in space.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a self-reflection movie about him and realizing that he treats his wife like shit, and his wife is pregnant with his kid, and he's basically having a conversation with a giant spider for an hour and a half.
Okay, so there's some similarities to Click there, which, that movie's unbearable.
I love Click.
You love Click? It starts off like funny, and then it turns into the most depressing movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you
love
it.
You know what else I love? Hubie Halloween.
Well, that's fun. That's a fun one. So
I'm just glad you didn't
shit
on it.
No. I'm not going to shit on all the Adam Sandler movies. Why would I? There's some gems. I mean, obviously, Billy Madison and fucking Happy Gilmore, they're amazing. Love them.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's got some other gems in there, you know. And plus, he does some funny side role deals. What's the movie? The Hot Chick, right? Where he just out of nowhere, he's just banging the drums. And he's got the Rastafarian, like, hat and everything wearing, like, going.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. It's like, it's got some great stuff.
His best movie is still Bulletproof.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's a good one.
I actually
one.
Watched that last week because I made a deal with Joanne that I'd watch White Chicks if she watched Bulletproof.
Ugh, White Chicks does not really age well, does it?
Surprisingly, I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah, we watched it. It's like one of her favorite movies, and we watch it together. It's pretty funny.
Okay, then. Well, good for you. So,
all right,
let's get back into like an actual awesome movie.
We've been talking about Adam Sandler for like 20 minutes,
which we've done plenty of times. Again is right. We do it all the time. I don't know why we do it so much. Maybe because he's a local boy. That's why.
Yeah.
We support our own.
So we're still talking about Adam Sandler.
Yep. I guess we're just going to keep going. Let's get back into Late Night with the Devil, because we have a lot to talk about with this movie.
Go ahead. So like, no. In the beginning there, we get that rundown. I actually love the beginning too, because we get the ups and downs of Jack. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Jack's wife ends up passing away from some kind of cancer.
Lung cancer.
He wasn't a smoker. And then he basically drops off the face of the planet for a while. Mm-hmm. And then he shows back up and he starts filming his talk show again.
Yeah.
Who said to him, was like, your wife has crossed over, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Was it Carmichael? I don't know if we saw him yet.
No, Carmichael hasn't made an appearance yet. Like, the show starts off with Chris Hugh, and he's doing this whole little spiel, which I'm like, oh God, okay. He's like, smoke and mirrors this one.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Cause he's basically, what was he, a medium, right?
Yeah. He's like claiming to be a medium. And when it comes to these people, I'm a bit skeptical, right? I feel like some of them are just, they're playing guessing games and they're preying on what people are going to like respond to them, right?
100%.
Like, I'm seeing the letter C. That's me. I'm Corey. You know, like that deal.
Yeah. And that's kind of why, like, Carmichael, I love this character, Carmichael, and we'll talk about him later. But
oh, he's awesome.
He was basically us.
Yeah. He's just skeptical the whole time.
Yep.
But he,
and that's what it was. He was literally the embodiment of everyone that doesn't believe in this crap.
Yep. He had a commanding performance as well, that one.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. The cast, I feel like all trying to steal the show at once. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So David Dasmachian as Jack Dorsey, he acted the shit out of this movie. Like, he completely was just amazing. He was amazing in it. And same with Ian Bliss, who was Carmichael Hayes. Yeah, Carmichael's the one we're talking about, who's like the skeptic the whole time. And yeah, he was awesome. He played a magician. Now, the whole time I'm watching this movie, Corey, I'm thinking to myself, and you know what? Don't get me wrong. Shudder is a great service, right? And this is going to be controversial, because we know Shudder is like not a widely like advertised service. It's not like it's Netflix or something like that, right? It's massive for us horror people. We love it. But this movie should be in way more theaters.
Yeah. Can you imagine seeing this on a big screen?
It'd be freaking a mindfuck, because there's a hypnotism scene where it's like
you are sucked
in, and you're like, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They actually like hypnotized the viewer. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, it was really nuts.
If they zoomed in on that watch any longer, I would have puked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was because the spinning, like the black and white wheel, and the way he hypnotized, he's like he's part magician, right? So he does hypnotisms, and he's like, that's what he was doing in the past. Now he's a skeptic for the paranormal and things like that. That's his whole role. So Jack wanted him on the show, but he had this other lady on the show that was bringing this girl who was actually possessed by the devil, but the reason, or maybe a demon. I don't know about the full devil, because that's a tall ask. Like the devil just being like, you know what? I've got some time today. I'll just, out of my busy schedule, go do a quick possession. Why not?
Yeah, and like, we see Christo or whatever several times. Did you notice that he was just these slight mannerisms to kind of make you think he was possessed?
Oh, yeah.
He would stare off into space, or he would stare into the screen. And then that one scene where his eyes rolled into the back of his head and then the power surged.
Yep.
I love that. And then all of a sudden he started vomiting like black liquid all over the set.
Oh, yeah.
And then he ends up dying because he puked his insides out.
Yep. And the whole time Carmichael's like, nope, that's a trick. You know, he was already sick to begin with, like super skeptic is like as much as you can possibly be.
Yeah. And he makes this comment towards, I think it was June, where he was like, where'd you go? The University of Hogwash.
I know that school.
Right. It's like from Harry Potter, right?
Right. Exactly.
But yeah. University of Hogwash.
University of Hogwash.
He still thinks it's all fake.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but so this whole time he thinks the whole thing is fake. I don't know if we should jump too much ahead. Well, actually, maybe we can, because this is where it really kind of starts picking up, is they have the whole like exorcism, right? Jack says to the audience, we're going to have a live communication with the devil, and then but a word from our sponsor, you know, that kind of deal. And I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah, cool. Yeah, again, like a real talk show. So
it was,
cool.
Yeah, it was like a real talk show the whole entire time. So they come back from their commercial, but and they would do things like, well, they wouldn't show like commercials, but they would do the whole "we're experiencing technical difficulties" type deal. And then behind the scenes, they'd be showing what's happening in black and white. And then we'd get back into the show again. And it was almost like you're just kind of seeing the full scope of everything that's happening. The show, behind the scenes, like everything. So it was cool. But yeah, so they come back and June sits down with Lily, who was terrifying to begin with because she's just so like almost robotic looking. She almost reminded me of Megan at points.
Oh, dude, I got those vibes too. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was very robotic and she kept doing that thing where she was staring straight ahead or at the camera.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it was crazy. So June starts doing her thing to Lily. Like they have to strap her down just to be safe. So she's like tied by the arms. She does the whole thing. And Mr. Wriggles is the demon and Lily is the conduit of that demon. So they start having the conversation. June starts having the conversation with Mr. Wriggles. And Mr. Wriggles is talking to Jack Dorsey. Like she keeps getting directed over to Jack. And he's saying the demon is saying all sorts of things to Jack.
Yeah, this was very much Exorcist
mm-hmm.
right here.
Yeah.
Because the demon starts speaking just like the demon did in The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got those vibes here. It's like an homage, kind of. It was cool.
It was. It was. They were definitely paying an homage to it.
Did you just correct me?
Maybe.
Dick?
Yeah,
I quit.
You quit? All right.
I'm
see
out.
You later, I guess. You're out. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey's left the building.
I quit.
You quit? Okay.
Yeah. You stop paying me. I'm done.
I haven't paid you to begin with.
Fuck. What am I doing this for?
I don't know. We're both just doing it for free.
What a waste of time.
I know, huh? I just spend hours and hours editing for everyone's enjoyment. What a shame.
Right? No one's paying us.
Whatever. I love it.
But then we get to see cool shit like this, so.
Exactly. This is why we do it. Yeah, this is why we do it, so we can see cool shit like this and talk about it, because we like talking movies.
So I love how everyone was trying to warn Jack that them fucking with the demon or whatever was inside Lily isn't a good idea. And he was just like, nah, it's good TV.
Yeah, it's good for ratings. It's sweeps week. Which means if you don't fucking pull your weight, your show's going to be fucking canceled.
The demonstration was really, really well done, though.
Oh, you know what? Half the time I was wondering whether it was makeup or whether they used like a frigging guy in place of Lily, because the face looked like a man, right?
And it kept changing.
Yeah, it just kept morphing. It was wild. And like it started off with like a straight demon face, right? And then obviously the audience like freaking out. Then it turned into like the normal kind of half demon, half human type look that you would see, similar to that in The Exorcist, where you know, the face is all kind of cut up looking and the eyes are just really purpley, like they've been punched in the face a few times. So that's how Lily looked as they're communicating with Mr. Wriggles. So the makeup was fantastic in that. Either it was someone else in place or it was very good makeup.
It's kind of crazy to me, too, that for restraining this little girl who they thought had a demon inside of her, they just used these tiny ass leather straps.
I know, right?
And then eventually Jack just like cuts them off of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is when she goes ballistic.
Oh, no, not just yet, actually, because, like, well, she kind of goes a little crazy. Like, the chair levitates and shit like that. Immediately, Carmichael is like, nope, that's a trick. She's, you know, hypnotizing everyone and all this stuff, right?
Movie magic.
Movie magic. He's the personification of movie magic. If he had a saying, it would be that. Movie magic. So,
yep.
They'd finish the whole exorcism, Lily comes down, and then they go to, like, the area where you would usually sit after doing your whole little spiel on a talk show. You would sit down next to the host, and then the next person would come out, and then they'd sit next to the host, and they all just be kind of talking together. So, they were sitting, Carmichael's still there, hanging out, and he's trying to debunk this whole thing. And this is when he starts doing the hypnotism. And he does, like, the watch to the lead musician in the Jack Dorsey band. Can't remember what his name is off the top of my head, but he had a fear for worms.
Of all things.
Of all things, worms. So, yeah, he had a fear for worms, and Carmichael breaks his watch out. And he just does all sorts of weird things, and like and changes it to a pinwheel. And so he's got like basically a watch pinwheel combination happening, and he's trying to hypnotize this guy. And he does, but it doesn't seem it, right? So he's like, you know, it looks like you got a cut on your neck there. And the guy's like, yeah, I cut myself shaving this morning. And he starts pulling worms out of his neck. And I was like,
yeah, that was fucking gross. And then it got worse.
It got so much worse. And then, yeah. And he starts like feeling all these worms inside him, and he starts ripping his stomach open, and worms are just falling out. And I'm thinking to myself, boogeyman's here. You know, the boogeyman from WWE who would eat worms?
Yeah, he's just missing his giant claw. Actually, he had a little pocket watch, but...
Yeah, always a little pocket watch, yeah.
No. No, boogeyman, sorry. He had a giant clock, right? He came out with the cuckoo clock thing.
Yeah, he always hit himself in the head with it.
Yeah. He's in the new WWE game. He's fun to play as.
I'm sure he is. Dude, he is like 60-something, and he still looks ripped to shit.
Yep. He was at Rock and Shock, I think, one year when we went.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I've never been.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah, I heard good
times. We'll get to relive it this year with
Silver Scream's
at the same venue, so.
Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. Yeah, that should be good. So he starts pulling his stomach apart. Worms are falling out. And then Carmichael snaps his fingers, and it stops. And the guy's just like, oh, so are we going to begin? And he's like, why is my shirt all unbuttoned? So, like, the audience is freaked out because they're seeing, like, this guy pulling worms out of his neck and out of his stomach. Jack is seeing everyone's freaking out. And this is when Carmichael breaks the news, like, I just hypnotized everyone. It never happened. So Jack's like, did everyone else see that? And like, there was only two people that like didn't see it, like couldn't get hypnotized. So every single person in the audience in that room, probably at home, got hypnotized other than maybe two people.
Yeah, us.
Yeah, us. Exactly. So Jack's like, all right, let's look at the footage. And they're looking at the footage, and then they see that it's not even happening. He's not pulling any worms and nothing like that. And Jack was just kind of blown away. And that's when Carmichael was like, see, she hypnotized us. That's why. Because I just hypnotized everyone in this room. And she basically did the same exact thing that I did. So he was just trying to debunk what she did. And then Lily's like, can we watch the footage of what happened to me? And they start watching the footage. And this is when Carmichael's like, it's still on here. So it really happened. And you can't hypnotize a camera. So all that shit was happening in real time. He's just thinking the whole time that she's also doing the same thing. And this is when shit starts going haywire, man. Like, oh my God.
Dude, the CGI in this scene was fucking crazy.
Yeah, because first of all, the musician, he gets his neck broken. Like, he's just walking up. Oh, wait, no. How does it happen? Yeah,
Gus gets his head twisted around.
Yeah, gets head twisted around and broken. And Lily, she's doing this thing where her arm is like pointed at the TV and pointed towards the lights. And she's like bringing in all this electricity and like static from the TV and stuff. And actually kind of reminded me of the movie Shocker. Do you remember that movie?
Not at all.
Not at all? It's a Wes Craven
I remember
movie.
Shocker from Spider-Man.
Oh, no, that's different. So Shocker was a movie from Wes Craven. Electro, that's right. That's like Electro. So Shocker was a movie from Wes Craven. I think it came out like maybe early 90s, something like that. Had to do with a serial killer who practiced voodoo and used like electricity and the television to kind of maneuver between like houses and people and things like that. It was a crazy movie. Check it out. I wouldn't say it's like a great movie, but it's definitely an interesting one to check out.
Yeah, I just looked up the poster. I definitely remember the poster.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've seen the movie.
I've seen it a bunch of times.
Came out in 1989.
89. Okay. I was thinking 90, like early 90s. Like for some reason, 89 and 90 just feels like the same year to me.
Weren't you like 15 then?
No, ass. I was 7 years old.
Okay.
So give me a little credit here. I'm not that fucking old. Okay. I'm ancient. I was born at the dawn of time.
The dawn of time. Okay. So, I recognize the actor that played the killer.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
He looks very familiar. Oh, the X-Files. Okay.
Yeah, that's where he's been in.
Cable Guy. I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's the Jim Carrey one. I was thinking Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy. I just never liked him.
No, that whole shit he does is fake, too.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
And people like it.
People like the simple things.
Steve, we shouldn't judge people for what they like, because we like shit that they don't like.
I know.
We're terrible.
We're awful people. We're just always judging. That's what this podcast is about, is judging movies.
Right. Yeah. Movies. Let's keep it to movies.
Let's keep it to movies and not comedians.
Yeah.
Air quotes.
I got some people I'd like to judge.
Okay. Sylvester Stallone.
Did you see that he got like worst actor last year for the Razzies?
For what?
For Expendables.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Megan Fox won like worst actress for the Expendables.
Oh, she was in that?
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know, man. I didn't watch it. The only reason you want to see that movie is to see all your classic action stars have that one last hurrah and explosions, things like that. I haven't really liked any of them. They've just been like, you know, background action movies.
Oh, dude, Megan Fox actually got worst actress for this movie, Johnny and Clyde, and then she got worst supporting actress for Expendables.
Oh, God. Wow.
Sylvester Stallone got worst supporting actor.
Yeesh.
Dude, but Winnie the Pooh basically cleaned up.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Worst picture, worst director, worst remake.
You know what? I would own it.
Worst screen combo, worst screenplay.
Yep. So speaking of that, I was watching the trailer a few times, just kind of getting me like psyched up for our interview with Lewis Santer. And as I'm watching it, I'm like looking through the comments, stuff like that. And people are like, wow, this already looks better than the original. And like everyone's kind of like shitting on the original. And they're like, I'm actually kind of like looking forward to this one. This looks great. I'm like, okay.
I saw like the opposite today when that clip of Lewis playing like one of his Tigger scenes came out, the one I sent you.
Yep.
People are shitting on that. Like, how did this get a sequel? Why is this happening already? This looks so bad.
I don't know about that. Like, I think it looks great.
Oh.
You and I are going to be seeing it in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm so pumped. So, I was looking at the cast on IMDb for Late Night with the Devil. You know who the narrator was?
Who was that?
Michael Ironside.
That sounds familiar. Why does that sound familiar?
Starship Troopers, Total Recall, Top Gun.
That's why. No wonder why we loved it.
Yep.
Would you like to know more?
Democracy. But yeah, that's why I recognize the voice.
That makes total sense why we both liked it. So this movie is just hitting on like all the strings for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now we're starting to get into fucking crazy land. So Lily's face splits in half from like the electricity and she's killing people and throwing Jack across the room. And shit's just going haywire, right? Going nuts. And then they cut to like the, we're experiencing technical difficulties with the, you know, the music you often hear that's borderline elevator music. But now we get into like this whole thing where I think Jack was knocked stupid, or like he has this special connection with Lily and the demon. So I'm thinking that he was probably either possessed of sorts or just knocked stupid and then just ended up into this whole different scenario. And he's going through like all of these moments in his life, like with the show and everything like that. He's like reliving it in real time, almost like Mr. Scrooge, right? Like the Christmas movie shit. It's kind of like that. You know, when you see the three ghosts and you live through all these moments, it's almost like that.
The ghosts of Christmas past and future and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's going through all this shit. It's kind of like
Scrooge.
Scrooge. We'll go with Scrooge because Bill Murray fucking killed it.
That story's been told so many times in so many different titles. We'll just do that. Let's go with Scrooge.
Yeah, let's go with Scrooge. Okay. So, this whole basically Scrooge thing is happening. And I'm not saying as like a bad thing, like I didn't like it. I'm just saying that's kind of what's happening. So he's going through all these moments in his career as a talk show host. And then what happens is there's this one scene where he's next to his dying wife. And Corey, I'm kind of thinking at this point, do you think, and you know, we didn't touch base on this. At the beginning of the movie, they talk about this men's only club that he would go to, and it was called The Grove. So we didn't talk about this because I think this is pretty important because it looked like a cult. Do you think Jack may have sold his soul to the devil to be like kind of be a bigger star than he is right now?
Yeah, because he was trying to, they kept mentioning that he was competing with, was it Johnny Carson?
Yes.
Like several times they competed that his ratings for his show were never anywhere close to Johnny Carson's.
Exactly.
Not only that, but like maybe it had to do something with the grief of losing his wife.
That too. I was almost thinking that maybe he was responsible for the death of his wife. Like for instance, this cult had like these powers and as a sacrifice, he could have did something like give her cancer, and then I can become a star. And I don't know, it's far-fetched, right?
I don't think it is far-fetched, though. I think that's a very much a possibility, because you can kind of dive into it, and like you just did, you can dive into it and sort of form your own opinions on it. And exactly. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, because you never know. Some of these cults, man, they've got some fucking shit going on. And not to mention, the demon had a lot of like knowledge about Jack. So somewhere this is all connected. But Jack's sitting down next to his wife, who's very sick, and she asks him to kill her because she's suffering and, you know, she doesn't want to live anymore. So Jack stabs her with this special knife, and it was like a knife that was brought to the show by June. And they were all these like kind of artifacts of the cult that Lily was part of. Like, she was born in this cult. So all this stuff was brought to the show. They bring the knife. He takes that knife and he stabs his wife and kills her. But then they cut away, and it's actually not the wife. It's Lily he stabbed.
Dead kid alert.
Dead kid alert is right. But yeah, we'll call her a dead kid.
So I have a question, though. So these scenes we were seeing with him killing his wife there, these are flashbacks, right?
Yeah, they're basically flashbacks. But then, like, it's almost like he cuts to reality, and he's got a knife in the girl's stomach. So was it perhaps reliving an actual moment that happened, and he actually did stab her with this knife in... Like, maybe she actually did have cancer, and part of his ritual was he had to stab her with a certain knife so that way he could become famous on the show. But he was already kind of getting that notoriety anyways.
What's kind of confusing to me, though, is if this is a flashback and he didn't get that knife until June was on his show, why did he have that knife in his flashback killing his wife?
So maybe it could have been handed down from the Grove. Like, the Grove could have had connections with the other cult that they were talking about in the movie. There's a lot of cult stuff happening in this movie. This is all like the whole baseline of this movie has to do with cults, which I love talking that shit. It's crazy. I find it very fascinating. That's why I'm like, that's already like tickling my fancy, if you will.
Yeah. We talk about cults a lot on here.
We do. Yeah. I mean, cults are like one of the biggest things in horror, and it just kind of, because of cults and the religious aspect, and you can just do so much with movies because you're like, well, it's a cult. That's probably why. You know, you just like, you blame it on the cult and none's the wiser.
Yeah, you can get real twisted with cults.
That's exactly it. You can get real fucking weird with cults and you just do all sorts of shit that doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. Like, if a killer was turning into a fucking demon and killing people and it wasn't cult related, people would be like, how's that happening? You know, it's just, there would be no, like, nothing to kind of latch on to. So they announce cults, and you're like, oh, it makes sense, because cults are fucking nutty.
Nutty and cool.
Nutty and cool, yeah. Well, I wouldn't join one, that's for sure.
You wouldn't?
Wouldn't.
I think you would, if they presented you with a good offer.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the cult of Helldivers 2, we're good to go.
Okay.
Yep.
I like that one. I'm in the cult.
Let's go for democracy. So I think, I think we're at this point where we can just give it our review here. Corey, what do you give it? What do you give Late Night with the Devil?
You're going to be shocked, but this gets a 5 out of 5 dead kids for me. I really wanted to rate this higher. Like, I wish I could, but I'm trying to keep it on the 5-5 scale, you know?
Yeah, shocking.
absolutely one of the most original films I've ever seen. David Dastmalchian is one of the most underrated actors on the planet, and he absolutely acted his heart out in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mentioned before how much I loved how this was shot like an actual talk show, you know, characters talking to the screen. And I really hope this blows up for originality, because I can see it actually becoming a cult classic. Once this comes out, I feel like people are going to be talking about it.
Absolutely. I think, Corey, easy 5 out of 5 for me. This movie was spectacular. It was so different than any horror movie I've really ever seen. It's unique. The story is unique. Everything about it, between the story, the acting, the wardrobe, the style of the movie, everyone stole the show. Nothing seemed cheesy. The practical effects were great. Everything, I can't rave about this movie enough. David's primarily known for being like a co-star, right, for the most part. But in this movie, I felt he proved he could be a leading man.
Yeah, now that you say that, like, I can't think of a single film he's been in that he's been a leading.
Yeah,
leading exactly. Man in.
He's always been some sort of like just co-star, not like the co-star, but just kind of like someone else in the movie. You know, like a co-star would indicate you have the main actor and then you have the person that's often seen on screen a lot. But yeah, I mean, he was Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad, and he was also, like, you know, one of Joker's goons. We talked about all about that. Like, and these are all, like, you see him in the roles, but it's not, like, substantial roles. He's not on screen all the time. I mean, he was in screen a lot, like, in Ant-Man movies, but not enough to say that he's top billing, anything like that. And this was his time to shine, and he absolutely shined, in my opinion. This movie absolutely should be in more theaters. I mean, if we're raving about it, I mean, we're just kind of still a small podcast, you know? Us saying, like, this should have been in more theaters isn't really going to hold that much weight, right?
No, not at all. We're nobodies.
No, we're still nobodies. But you got people like Stephen King, Kevin Smith. These are iconic people who are raving about this movie. This is probably something that should have maybe been in more theaters, but Shudder got the direct rights to it. Good for them. I think that's great. I still think that the movie could have been in more theaters, and then Shudder could have had direct rights right after that. But I'm not behind the scenes when it comes to distributors and getting all that set up, right? So that's kind of out of my wheelhouse, at least at the moment. Who knows, man? Never know. One day maybe we're like, hey, you know what? Let's get into any movie investment game.
Yeah, right? We'll be sponsoring movies.
Exactly. You never know.
Our stupid logo will be on the movie when it starts instead of that lion.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, right? Yeah. 30 Screams or Less podcast gets that big. You're like a 30 SOL production. I don't know.
We're dreaming now.
Yeah, we're big dreamers here, people. We do this for fun. We don't get paid. And now we're talking like funding big movies.
Mm-hmm.
Our heads are just... like, I'm surprised I'm fitting it into my apartment right now.
Your massive dome?
My massive dome is just literally wall to wall at the moment. But 5 out of 5, easy one for this. This movie was just great. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Everything about it. And
I don't typically rewatch movies.
What's that?
I said I don't typically rewatch movies, but I could see myself rewatching this one several times.
Yeah, I was tempted to, honestly. Like, after I finished watching it, I was like, I think it's a little too late, but oh, I would love to watch this again. If this thing comes, well, actually, I'm sure it will. When it comes out on Blu-ray, I'm going to pick it up. I like collecting movies on, like, Blu-ray and shit. And if they come out with a steelbook, I'm all over it. I'll be fucking all over that movie. So, who knows? We'll see. Shudder, I'm putting it out there. Make a steelbook for it.
Yeah, make it just for Steve.
Just for me. And I'll have the only one-of-a-kind steelbook of this movie, and I'll throw that thing in fucking plastic and get it graded, whatever. It'll be worth $20 million. Okay, and it won't be worth $20 million, but maybe a good amount.
I like that. Shoot for the stars, Steve.
I always shoot for the stars, and I either land on the moon or I just land on my face. Either way, I tried.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
And all you can do in this world is try. Whether you fail or you succeed, either way, you did something.
I wish Adam Sandler would do a horror movie.
Yeah, you know, that'd be interesting.
He should be in the Speak No Evil remake with James McAvoy.
Oh my God. He can be the guy that cuts the kid's tongue.
Oh, yeah, there we go. He's a leader of that cult.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, dude, that movie is... that was like the second movie we reviewed, right?
Definitely early on.
It was real early on. Well, the first one we did was Christmas Bloody Christmas.
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of our seasons. It's Christmas season. It works. Whatever. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.